Lift up your voice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Thank you, musicians, for your gifts and talents that you share with us week after week. We're also grateful to have Josh with us and the music that he has added to our service this morning. Friends, this makes the third week that we've been looking at Matthew chapter 25 and some of the parables that Jesus offers in Matthew chapter 25. And we'll finish with the third parable this morning. So I invite you to turn in your Bible, if you wish, to Matthew chapter 25. I'll be reading starting at verse 31. And just as a reminder to us, we've already talked about those who are running on empty. Remember the lamps that were empty, they didn't have oil. Then we talked about hidden talents, those of us who take what God has given to us and hide it. This morning, I invite us to think about times that we ignore. Will you hear now from God's word, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. The king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." The righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" The king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. I remember as a 17-year-old going shopping at our local shoe show. And while I shopped there at the local shoe show, I noticed that the store clerk was doing everything in her power to avoid me. I was simply there to buy a new pair of shoes, and every time I looked in her direction, hoping that she might help me find the size that I needed, she turned her back and walked the other way. You see, this young girl was also a student at the same high school that I was, and I happened to be a friend of someone that she didn't much care for. And because of that, I suppose she decided that she simply would ignore my existence. She ignored that I was present there, even while she was supposed to be doing her job. Friends, it doesn't feel good to be ignored. It does not feel good to not be noticed. It doesn't feel good for someone to simply walk by you and not even care about your existence. This morning, we find a parable from Jesus. A parable from Jesus that's about people being ignored. And it's also about people who are paying attention. I wonder where it is that we fall this morning as we hear this parable from Jesus. Are we people that are ignoring others? Or are we paying attention? You see, Jesus tells this parable of a king that gathers in front of him all of the nations, all of the people, and the king stands before them and begins to separate out the people, putting some on the right and some on the left. The separation the king Jesus describes as a shepherd would separate the sheep and the goats. I understand in ancient biblical times that the sheep and the goats meandered together in their fields, and when it came time for shearing to happen, it was important that the shepherd would separate out the sheep from the goats. So Jesus is using this visual image to help the people understand. It's something that they would have been familiar with. So the king stands before all the people and separates out the sheep from the goats. Jesus, the king, stands there and he says, the sheep are going to be on my right, and the goats are over here on my left. And as the king is separating out those sheep and those goats from each other, the sheep hear these great words. You are righteous. You are wonderful. And you are going to be blessed. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was in prison, you visited me. Well done. Well done, sheep. And you goats. You goats, you're over here with your eternal punishment. Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you offered me nothing to drink. When I was a stranger, you turned the other way and didn't act as if I existed. When I was sick, you didn't care for me. And when I was in prison, you came not to visit. Goats, go to your eternal punishment. And both the sheep and the goats cry out to the king, when did this happen? The sheep, when did we feed you when you were hungry? And the goats, when did we ignore you? When did we not feed you? And the king says, what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. That time, sheep, that you fed the person who was hungry on the side of the road, well, you did that to me. That time, goats, that the new person walked into the sanctuary and you walked straight past them to find your pew, you did that unto me. The sheep and the goats, the blessing and the curse. The goats are ignoring others. They're turning away. They're avoiding. The sheep are running to compassionately and tenderly and loving care and meet the needs of those who are around them. The hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick and the imprisoned, the sheep are going out of their way to notice and pay attention and care for them. Meanwhile, those who are classified as goats simply ignore. For both the sheep and the goats, they didn't seem to notice what the king was saying to them at first. When did it happen that we fed you? And when did it happen that we didn't feed you? Well, herein lies an important part of the parable. Friends, the evidence of what we believe is found in how we act. The evidence of what we believe is found in how we act. For both the sheep and the goats, it was second nature. It was just natural for the sheep to be responsive and eager to help. And it was second nature and natural for the goats to turn away and ignore. Sometimes this parable is criticized for being a parable that is all about works righteousness. Many say that this parable is so focused on works that it seems to imply that the only way for salvation, the only way to receive your eternal reward is through the works, through the good deeds that you do. Faith is by grace. Our salvation is by grace and through our faith and our faith alone. But our faith is really never alone, because as we are saved by faith, we are changed. Last week we talked about being changed from the inside out. We are freed, as John Wesley would call it. When we are saved by our faith, we are freed to do good works. We are freed from the inside out to do the good deeds and show the loving kindness to the world around us. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 14, we read this: faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The evidence of what we believe is found in how we act. If we have faith in Christ, if we have been saved by our faith, then friends, we are freed to act in a way that produces good works. The evidence of what we believe is found in how we act. Our works are evident that God in Christ is working in us and through us so that we pay attention and notice those who are around us. We then are invited to be the sheep, to be the ones that pay attention and notice when someone is hungry or thirsty, to pay attention and notice and welcome the stranger in our midst, to pay attention and notice and offer tender, loving care to someone who is sick, to have the courage and the strength enough to go visit someone in prison. We who claim to have faith, we who claim to believe that God in Christ has saved us, should act in ways that exhibit that truth, that exhibit that God in Christ has saved us, and therefore we are freed. We are freed to care for those around us. Remember back to these sheep and these goats. They didn't even notice. They didn't even realize what it was they had done, because it was so second nature. It was so a part of who they are. And the king says to them, the things that you did to me, or the things that you did to others, or the things that you did not do to others, you did unto me. So our works, our actions, our opportunities for service are an encounter with the living Christ. When we feed the hungry or clothe the naked or visit the prisoner, in turn what we really are doing are encountering the living Christ in someone else. We're encountering Jesus in our neighbor who happens to be in need. Or we're ignoring the needs of our neighbor. Truly, I tell you, says the king, just as you did to the least of these, who are members of my family, you did unto me. The love shown to them is the love shown to me, says Jesus. Abernathy Memorial in Rutherford College was one of the last churches that I served. And the church was a smaller congregation with not close to 100 active members in regular attendance. And they had a food pantry. They had a food pantry in the basement of their church. And once a month, folks from all over Burke County came to receive the gift of food from this little rock church. And the poverty and the need in Burke County was great. One of the patrons of that food pantry was a woman named Gloria. And I had encountered Gloria time after time as she'd come to receive the gift of God's love packaged up in a box of food. And one day, the parsonage happened to be just beside the church. So from time to time, I'd run over to the church to get something I'd forgotten or run back and forth just quickly to do something. And it was on one of those occasions that I had just run over to the church to do something quickly that I heard a knock, knock, knock on the door. I recognized right away that it was Gloria. And Gloria is standing there with this infant child wrapped up in a blanket. Gloria's in tears and she's crying. She said, "I didn't know where else to come. You see, my son and daughter-in-law dropped this baby off at my house this morning and said they didn't know when they'd be back. They left the child with just the clothes on its back and not any diapers to make it through the afternoon. And so I knew where I needed to go. I needed to come to the church because maybe, just maybe, the church could point me in a direction for help." And as Gloria stood there with tears in her eyes and began to tell a little bit of her, more of her story, I learned that her heat source in her house was out, and she and her husband, who had suffered from a chronic emphysema, were in a very cold home and now caring for this newborn baby. So the church rallied together to help Gloria and her family. It just so happened, friends, and this is how God works. It just so happened that somebody had brought by this bag of hand-me-downs earlier that week. Just the size of this baby that Gloria is now caring for. And all I had to do was make a phone call to some folks in the church who I knew would go to Gloria's house and help her with her furnace issues. A week later, Gloria calls me on the phone, and she says that her husband is in intensive care and on life support. She wondered perhaps if the church would pray for him. That afternoon, I headed straight to the intensive care and held the feeble hand of her husband as he struggled to hold on to the gift of life. And I knew through my encounter with Gloria, through my encounter with that little bitty baby, and through my encounter with her husband, that in fact, I had encountered Jesus the Christ. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Earlier this year, here at Myers Memorial, we have a gentleman who stops by from time to time because he knows that we hand out snack packs. Our youth assemble these snack packs that just have some goodies that somebody can eat on the road as they're making their passage from one place to the next. And this particular gentleman comes by from time to time to pick up a snack pack. On this particular encounter, he asked if he could talk to me. And so he and I spent a little bit of time catching up from how he had been from when he was here previously to how he was now. And he was so pleased that progress had been made in his life. He was really at a low place months before, and he wanted me to know that God had been so good to him and that some of the health problems he'd been experiencing had started to improve. And he was grateful just to come and get this snack pack. But as he's here, he tells me that really he's hopeful for a new pair of shoes. A new pair of shoes because his feet are tired and his feet are hurting. And in walks a beloved church member of ours who overhears this man telling me about his desire for a new pair of shoes. And this church member who sits in the pews alongside of you heard this man's story and heard that his size was the exact size of his foot. And so he went home and brought back a new pair of tennis shoes that he'd not yet had the opportunity to wear, but knew that they would serve this man well. And a few weeks later, this generous church member of ours returned with a bag of ointments and cream because he said that he had noticed the scars on the man's feet and ankles and the wounds that were open and oozing. And he wanted to make sure that the next time he stopped by, that he had this bag of care supplies, first aid ointments and creams. Truly I tell you, says the king, what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. I know, for that church member, that was an encounter for him with the living Christ. I wonder, brothers and sisters, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to the needs around us? Or like the goats, are we ignoring? Because when we ignore another in need, Christ himself is ignored. We hear the judgment that's placed upon the goats this morning. And I wonder if this is our spiritual checklist. I wonder for each of us individually and collectively as a church family, how well are we doing at meeting the needs of the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned? Where are we ignoring? Where are we putting on our blinders and turning the other way? We have friends who stop by our church almost every day that are in need of something. We may not always send them away with what they wanted or exactly what they asked for. But I can assure you, as the pastor of this congregation, we do not send them away ignored. Oftentimes we refer them to what I think is one of the greatest resources that Gaston County has available. It's called Gateway. Gateway is a process or an organization that partners with the YMCA and local churches in order to meet the needs of those who live around us. So oftentimes when someone stops by after we've had the opportunity to hear their story, we refer them on to Gateway. To Gateway, who over the last 2 years has had contact with 3,500 individuals in Gaston County, providing them with an extensive array of human services, counseling, coaching, financial guidance, veteran services, and so much more. Gateway calls themselves a hand up and not a hand out. They want to partner with folks in need in order that they are not ignored, in order that their needs are met and their lives are sustained. Any of us can refer someone to Gateway. If you'd like the link, and you can put it inside of your phone, and when you meet a neighbor in need, in the grocery store parking lot, in the parking lot at Target, or in the parking lot of our church, it's very simple. All you have to do is hear a bit of their story and find out a way for Gateway to get back in touch with them. And then my trusted friend and colleague, Dwayne Burks, will be in touch with them, or one of his counselors will be in touch with them to help make sure they are not ignored. The need around us is great, but the power within us is even greater. God in Christ has showered blessing upon blessing down upon us. And those of us who know that Christ Jesus is the King and Lord of our lives are freed and invited to faithfully serve him by paying attention. So may we be people who this day and forevermore notice the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the stranger, and the imprisoned. And when we encounter them, we encounter Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.